You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill League podcast. Alex Dunn and Pete Farries here. Once again, for one of the final times this season, to look ahead to the first leg of the Championship playoffs. The first semi-finals coming up on Saturday and Sunday, Pete.
Yep.
And off the back of this, we're going to hear from Al Ross on the League 2 semi-finals as well. Of course, League 1 almost done and dusted. We will hear one more time from Gav Puchalski before the end of the season. But we are here to focus on the Championship. And the first of the semi-finals comes up on Saturday at 5:30. It is Fulham against Reading. Fulham are 8-13, the draw 14-5, and Reading are 9-2. And though Fulham are very much the buzz team in the, or were the buzz team in the Championship towards the end of the regular season, Pete, I must say that that 8-13 is looking rather skinny as far as I'm concerned. I would happily take Fulham to win this game, but Reading obviously are no bad number. And you'd be forgiven for thinking that Fulham finished above Reading based on how that's priced up, and they did not.
No, they didn't. They didn't, and I agree. I agree that 8-13 is maybe a little bit short. But then you've also got to consider that Fulham's home record has been absolutely exceptional in terms of they don't lose games. They've lost two home games since the 1st of October. And they have been, okay, surprising ones. I think it was Wolves and Brighton, wasn't it? I suppose Brighton's not actually not even remotely surprising, is it? But Wolves, certainly. They concede a lot at home, so you have to maybe worry about that. I mean, they've kept no clean sheets since the 14th of January at Craven Cottage as well. But let's be fair, if I said to you who's been the best team in 2017, the Championship, there's one answer, isn't there?
Yep.
There's one answer. So I agree. I think Fulham win, and therefore, ultimately, as a punter, I'll take the 8-13. I'd like bigger, but I'll take the 8-13.
Okay.
As I just mentioned, they do concede at home. That is a very, very regular thing. So if you are looking at Fulham in this, then Fulham and both teams to score is 23-10. But you do need to be a little bit wary. Now, while Reading have scored in five back-to-back away games, their away form this season hasn't been, by any stretch of imagination, awful. But it's not been kind of like bombastic and incredible. I mean, they've won five away games in 2017. They'd already done a lot of the damage. And don't forget, their home form has been utterly terrifying. But at the end of the day, I am still just more than happy with Fulham. Yes, sure, but definitely backable. Now, in terms of the Fulham and both teams to score 23-10, you might just want to take Fulham out of it and say, do you know what, Pete? Shut up. You subhuman scumbag, although really out of order, to be honest. Both teams' score is 7-10.
That's fine,
isn't it? That is a perfectly good bet. And I think the overs as well are 4-6 is a good bet too. Now, I'm not going to give you a cash prize or any kind of prize, actually. But who do you think I'm going to back to score any time in this game, Alex? Just take a wild sort of nibble at this.
Is he 19-10?
He is 19-10. Thomas Ian Kearney. I don't know what his middle name is. Tom Kearney. This is obviously a better have a lot, but also he scored 3 in his last 5. Tom Kearney.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 12 goals in the league this season. This is not a guy who is anywhere close to anything other than being an exceptionally talented goal scorer. Didn't score against Reading first time round this season, but certainly is the play here for me for Fulham. Yeah, they've got some good attacking players in there, but he's incredible. And he'll be in the Premier League no matter what next season. He really, really will. But I think Fulham do this. And just a quick thing, head-to-heads, I'm not a big player of head-to-heads, but I always have a little bit of a look. Always a little bit of a look when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that does tell you a little bit. When Fulham went to Reading in January, they lost 1-0. But what happened to Reading when they went to Craven Cottage earlier in the season?
Tell us, Pete.
Obliterated, weren't they? 5-0 that game. Admittedly, Fulham were 2-0 before Reading went down to 10 men. But the point is that Fulham go into this knowing at home they've smashed They've smashed today's opponents. Not just beaten them, smashed them. Mm. By the way, very quickly, Chris Martin was brilliant that day. Got a couple of goals. 6-5 anytime, Chris Martin. If you want to play a slightly more strikery option. And on the Reading side, you know, Jan Kermagant is always worth a look. You know, there's lots of talented players, but I think Fulham will outgun Reading. And therefore, I'll take Fulham.
Fulham 8-13. Fulham and both teams to score 23-10. Certainly of interest in that first semi-final, first leg. The other one is coming up at midday on Sunday. Huddersfield against Sheffield Wednesday. Huddersfield are 6-4, the draw 11-5, and Sheffield Wednesday 19-10. And two sides very much with differing levels of momentum right now. Huddersfield, who were pushing Newcastle and Brighton close for a lot of the season in terms of going up automatically, but it's kind of all gone to pot a little bit in the last month or so, whereas Sheffield Wednesday have taken a long time to get any consistency together this season. You could argue that they're still lacking in a bit of that, but on their day, they are good enough to beat any side in this league. Thing is, their away form isn't absolutely staggering. Huddersfield 6-4 a month ago would have looked superb. Now, you're not so sure, and this game could go very much either way, and I know you could say that about any game, but this really is not a lottery, but no. Wide open.
Yes, it is. The thing about Huddersfield's form is it really started to happen once they'd confirmed playoffs.
Yeah, which you could say is a good thing.
Yeah, he rotated. Don't forget there was talk of him being told off for having fielded a weak side, which to me is nonsense. Ultimately, a manager should be judged by the owners and by the fans of the football club. Because where does it end? Mm. If the bosses of leagues go to and say, you've not played your best players, well, then you choose my team.
Well, you look in the Premier League, you could have Chelsea against Sunderland. Chelsea could make 6 changes and still win 3-0. Does that? Yes, the side is weaker in inverted commas, but
and if they lose, then it's Antonio Conte who quite rightly would get the criticism because you as a manager, Ian Holloway. I don't agree with Ian Holloway on much, but he's in a great rant if you have a look on YouTube about Ian Holloway saying they've got no right to tell me who to pick, and I completely agree.
You have a squad for a reason, and if you don't play the.
If you factor one tournament over another, then that's your decision. Mm. The fans and the board will judge you on that decision, which are the only people who should be judging you. Anyway, that was a small mini rant, which I think I've managed to curtail quite well, actually. But yeah, like I say, that came really at the end of the season when they had nothing to play for. I mean, frustratingly, they lost to Birmingham, because if they'd beaten Birmingham, I might have landed my 100-1. But there you go, on such things. I actually think Huddersfield might struggle a little bit in this game. And this sounds daft, but if you remember early in the season, Huddersfield were absolutely flying. And, you know, they flew through 90% of the season anyway, so it's not like me saying, and then they came crashing to a halt. But then Sheffield Wednesday came to town, and Sheffield Wednesday beat Huddersfield. If I'm right, I think they were the first team to beat Huddersfield at Huddersfield this season. It was a Fernando Forestieri goal. It was a penalty. And actually, Sheffield Wednesday were the better team that day. Plus, their away form, which you quite rightly mentioned, Alex, has been poor. Actually, since February, he's managed to turn that around. They've lost at Villa and they've lost at Leeds. Other than that, beating Wigan Forest, okay, poor teams, Rotherham, poor team, but they would have lost those games or drawn those games before. And from February onwards, they did really well. It's helped that they've got a couple of injured players back. That's been very good. 6 wins from 7 going into the season. And a win at Huddersfield as well this season. Listen, Huddersfield have been amazing. I just think that the experience of last season for Sheffield Wednesday might help them out here a bit. Because last season, there was quite a few of them going into that game going, what is it? Where am I? What's going on here? This season, I think that'll be different. Now, I'm not playing them on the outright. I think the outright price gives you nice scope for a bit of insurance on your draw no bet. 6-5, you're plus a goal at 8-15. I think this is going to be an unders game as well. I wouldn't play overs in this match particularly because for Huddersfield, you scrape out a 1-0 win or a win by a goal, which is what Huddersfield have been doing 90% of the season. And that's a good result, isn't it? Going, you know, 10 minutes down the road or wherever it is. I've never driven Huddersfield to Sheffield because I just drive back to Leeds. But anyway, under 2.5 goals is 8-15. Under 1.5 is 7-4, which are both, I think, good bits of value. Goal scorer-wise, well, I've mentioned Fernando Forestieri having scored in this tie already. He's 2-1 anytime, Fernando Forestieri, if you're wanting to back him. He scored in both ties actually this season, scored in the one at Hillsborough as well as the one away at Huddersfield. So he is the best goal scorer shout in this at 2-1. But listen, Huddersfield have been amazing, and I'm not completely writing them out of this tie either. And yeah, the form has dropped off as changes have been made, as they've coasted through to the end of the season having guaranteed playoffs. But Sheffield Wednesday's momentum is big, and they've improved their away form. They've got injured players back. And the only negative I can think of for Sheffield Wednesday really is that rumours persist about Carlos Carvajal's future, which is the only thing. But I think even for 3 games, even players can kind of go, that doesn't matter for now, we can concentrate on this. So 19-10 Sheffield Wednesday if you want to play an outright, but I'll play the draw no bet if that's all right.
Interestingly, Sheffield Wednesday 8-11 to qualify, Huddersfield even money. So Wednesday are the favourites Indeed, it's the two sides who arrive with the most momentum who are favourites for both.
Makes
but
sense.
But finish fifth and sixth in the league. Oh, actually, no.
Sheffield
Wednesday finished above Huddersfield. But nevertheless, sides that were certainly lower ranked through most of the season, it is fair to say. Okay, then. Great stuff. Let's hear from Al Ross now on League Two. We will be back in time. Go on, Pete.
Can I have to do a nap?
Of course, yes.
Because normally I would record, but I'm here. I need to do the nap.
What's your nap?
I'm going to go into the Fulham game as the game with my nap in it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about the both teams to score. I thought about the overs. But you know what? I love this man, and the form he is in at the moment is exceptional. So I'm going to take Tom Kearney to score. However, I'm not going to take Tom Kearney just to score because I think he scores, and I'm convinced Fulham win this match. So I'm actually going to go for a Fulham win with Tom Kearney anytime at 13-5.
Nice. Nice price as well. We will wrap up the naps on the...
I think they're wrapped up. I think, if I'm being absolutely honest with you, as much as it pains me having known Al Ross, they are wrapped up.
Who knows? We'll see.
Well, I don't know a way that he could have lost 100 points of victory in one match, but but knowing him, I wouldn't be surprised either.
Maybe I swindled the figures.
I would be delighted with that. We know who's first, we know who's second, and we know who's third.
I'm open to bribes.
Well, I'm not, so...
Okay. Right, Al Ross now on the League 2 playoff semi-final first legs. We'll be back at some point. When are the second legs? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday, yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, we'll catch up with you soon, listeners. Here's Al.
In terms of pure form, this should be the better quality of the two playoffs. Blackpool's less than surprising 3-1 win over Leighton Orient on the final day, making sure of 7th place and the chance to take on a Luton side who've been pretty much secure in the playoffs since forever. Blackpool looked like sinking without a stone in January, so credit does have to go to Gary Bowyer for turning this ship around. Bowyer, by the way, the only manager in my eyes to come out of the Venky's time at Blackburn with any reputation left intact. So his job at Blackpool, which has gone very well, might lead to the vultures circling, particularly if they don't go up. That, though, will be a question for the close season. A fiery players meeting after back-to-back defeats in April led to a Blackpool surge and 10 points from a possible 15 to secure a playoff place on the final day. That is hectic stuff, and surely a sense of relief. And now they have to get themselves going again. Luton, by contrast, have seen these playoffs coming a mile off. They don't have the need for such team meetings. They've steadily carried on winning regardless. Their last defeat was in March. It is 17 points from a possible 21 since. And that run includes completing the league double over Blackpool this season. Can you read something into that? Yes. Should you read too much into it? No. Because Blackpool's form was already fizzling when Luton went to town back in December. Exeter against Carlisle in the other semi-final might well have goals. This one unlikely to have a huge number. Only 5 teams conceded a goal a game or fewer in League 2 this year, and these are 2 of them. 7-10 for under 2.5 goals looks fine to me. And yet, Luton have scored in all bar 1 of their last 11 on the road. That's right back to the first match of 2017. Only 6 teams in this division even beat Luton this season. The likes of Stevenage, Pompey and Colchester did the double over them. And as I mentioned, Luton did the double over Blackpool. In terms of goal scorers, I'm not expecting a high-scoring match here, so I'm going to split my stakes on the first and last goal scorers rather than taking the any time. If I had to choose a home goal scorer, I'd probably go for Mark Cullen at 2-1. I know it's a short price for someone who's not prolific, but he has scored in 6 of the last 13, which justifies the price. Plus, he's scored 4 of the last 7 at home. And it's a small matter that just 2 years ago he left Luton Town after 2 years at Kenilworth Road. He is 6-1 first, 6-1 last. My main goal scorer is, annoyingly, the shortest price. Danny Hilton, 13-10. But again, 4-1, split stakes on first and last scorer markets making more sense. Suspended at the weekend after ascending off against Notts County, he's back now. Before that, it was 12 goals in 15, and importantly, almost always only the one goal. Yes, a lot of those are from the penalty spot, but frankly, Luton have good tricky wingers and they get a lot of penalties, so why not? If you fancy more goals than I do here, there's always the 2-2, 3-5 Isaac Vassell, who's available anytime at 11-5. It must be hard for Blackpool when you know that a sizeable number in the crowd don't actually want you to get promoted. I know a few Blackpool fans. Though the worried promotion will leave the Oyston family that own the club feeling vindicated with the way that they're running it. The online message boards are full of similar sentiments. that might be one way of looking at it. But frankly, for Blackpool, it's not been a problem to this point, of course. It's been the same all season, and Blackpool are where they are, despite the off-field firefight between owners and fans. There aren't many who've won at Bloomfield Road, four in the league, yes, Luton, and also Plymouth, Grimsby and Mansfield. That's it. The bottom line is this. Both teams are actually in fairly similar form. No team drew more games away from home this season in League Two than Luton. No team drew more games on their own patch this season than Blackpool. 3-0-0s, 2-1-1s, 4-2-2s. You could argue this is more like a cup fixture, though. Well, three of six cup games at Blackpool this season finished level. Against League Two opponents, that is two draws in three. I do fancy Luton to get through this tie, and they'll want to go into the second leg at Kenilworth Road as favourites. This is not an easy ground to get a result at, so they should be happy with a scoring draw. A draw with an away goal? Well, that's drawing both teams to score, and that's 3-1. Six of the last 10 Luton away games have been draws. Five of those have been 1-1. And that's a 6-1 punt. Danny Hilton to score in a 1-1 draw, if you fancy going big, is 14-1. Of the two playoff semi-finals, this is the one that excites the most. Exeter have looked by some distance the better of these two teams over recent months, and yet Carlisle beat a first-choice Exeter in their own backyard just last week on the final day of the season to secure their playoff place. Exeter were outplayed and they ultimately lost 3-2. A repeat of that Carlisle win's available to back at 13-10, but I'm not touching it. There's a few reasons why. Firstly, Exeter were 2-1 up at half-time last week, knowing full well they'd secure their playoff spot anyway, and they lost to a second-half blitz from a Carlisle side who knew that only a win would take them into the playoffs. I backed Exeter to win on last week's podcast, but a mixture of a surprising and impressive Carlisle response to being down at the break, plus Exeter's lack of anything to play for, in the end, told out. Plus, Carlisle also got two penalties, and while I can see why each penalty was given, to be honest, I was also unconvinced by both calls. Anyway, it was 3-2, the same score as when the teams met earlier in the season. Exeter's last three games have had at least four goals. Carlisle's last three have had six goals, three goals, five goals. So even though these occasions tend to be slightly more tense than normal, you still can't trust either side to shut the other one out. Seven of the last nine Exeter games and all of Carlisle's last six have been both teams to score. And that's 8-13. Over 2.5 goals is 4-5. One bigger price on the goal scoring would be 8-5 on Carlisle's Jabo Ibire. He was taken off with what looked like a hamstring injury last week. If he is out, he's out. You'll get your money back on that bet. I can't imagine he would be risked if there's any doubt about a hamstring injury. You can only make those things worse. And with the second leg to come, I imagine he'll either be in at 100% or he'll be rested for the return leg. That injury cost him the chance to score in a record for the club, sixth straight game. 14 goals this season, but the boy is very streaky. Six came in eight games a little across October, but another five have been in the last six. Shortlisted for last Player of the Month award, getting while he's hot at 8-5 any time. There are plenty of other Carlisle goal scorers possibles as well, but very few regulars. However, I've got a sneaking suspicion on his likely strike partner, Jamie Proctor. A return of four goals in 16 games would not normally fill you with confidence, but there is method to this madness because there's more to football than just a string of stats. The Carlisle boss, Keith Curl, will have watched last week's win and seen the same thing I did. Carlisle had seven key chances, aside from the penalties against Exeter, and of those seven, five came from balls crossed in from wide, and that includes the winning goal scored as a header from a long throw by the 6'2" Jamie Proctor. He is 7-4 any time. And likewise, when corner markets become available, have a look at the overs, particularly for Carlisle. I think they'll be getting down the wings as often as they can. Picking an Exeter scorer, well, that's harder. Ollie Watkins not in form despite a great first half of the season. There'll be money for Ruben Reid, but he's much happier in front of his own fans, so I'm keeping my powder dry on him until the second leg. Exeter sharing the goals around. The obvious pick, David Wheeler, with three goals in five, is 7-4. I'm happier backing Carlisle goal scorers, and yet I'm happier to back Exeter on the outright. It shows confidence in an open contest. Exeter to score two or more goals, 13-8. And as well as the situation being different last week, and refereeing decisions going Carlisle's way in penalty terms. There's also the small matter of the two teams' form. Let's not forget, Carlisle were a win off the top and 7 points ahead of eventual champions Portsmouth at the turn of the year. They were averaging 2 points a game. They saved a playoff place by winning a game they had to win on the final day against an Exeter side who were already guaranteed fifth and had nothing to play for. Yes, Carlisle are 5 without defeat, but 3 of those were draws, and out-of-form Stevenage is the only other top half side they've played in that time. The other teams finished 19th, 22nd, 23rd. Plus, it's 3 wins in 15 at home since the start of December for Carlisle. Almost all of their results have been on the road, including last week's. So how on earth are they the favourites? In the same time period that Carlisle have won 3 in 15 at home, Exeter have only lost 3 in 13 away. 13 away wins in 23 league games this season for Exeter. 15-8 is far too tempting, and the price of 9-2 for Exeter to win and both teams to score looks standout. For those wanting an outside price, how about Jabo Abire to score for Carlisle, but Exeter to win the match? That's 12-1. It's already been a good year in League 2 for the South West, Plymouth promoted, Portsmouth champions, and at 9-4 I'll also be backing Exeter to be the team that goes up along with those two and Doncaster, and Exeter's job for that starts here.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.